Say too, it's good to be here. It's been good to be here, and it's been blessed with what's been shared. The title I've given the message this morning is A Good Name, and that's if you look it up in the Bible, there's quite a few places it talks about a good name. And a name has, well, think of maybe different aspects. The one, all of you have a name. That's how you, that's your identity. There's also maybe a name could be a reputation. The reputation you have, your name. And it's names are given a lot of significance in the Bible. They're our Sunday school lesson. Last Sunday, the angel came down and said, name Jesus, because he's going to be the Savior. And that's the name above all names. That's the reason we're here. If it weren't for that name, it wouldn't, our time spent, it would be no use we'd get together like this. And then think of other names. You know, Jesus changed names. Brother Joe talked about Peter. And Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. And there's to rock, or stone, or a small stone. And then Peter mentioned there that he has lively stones. You know, we're called to the same thing as Peter was there, to be a lively stone. You know, Simon was a different person than Peter. His name changed. His person changed. He was a different man. After his conversion, at one time he had his own personality. Everybody has their own personalities, but he changed his from before to one that would denied Christ, and afterwards he died for Christ. He was willing to nothing would get in his way. Ecclesiastes 1 says a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death and the day of one's birth. And one commentator mentioned that, you know, he did not say that death is better than birth, for we must be born before we can die. But his point was that the name that it's given you at birth is like a fragrant ointment, and you must keep it that way until the day you die. You know, when you received your name at birth, nobody knew what you were going to make out of it. But at death, that name is either fragrant or putrid. If it's fragrant at death, then people can rejoice, because after that, nothing can change it. So for a person with a good name, the day of death is better than the day of birth. You know, as a name, when you think of giving a child a name, is that significant? And I trust all of you would say it is. You know, there are some that think that names have been proven to affect everything from a child's self-confidence to affecting his grades in school, his future professional success. And studies have shown that names do set up certain expectations and can influence people who put a lot of weight on first impressions. And also showed that elementary school teachers tend to grade students with unusual names more strictly than children with common names. But, you know, didn't seem to be any real accurate studies or that would really prove that, and I trust that's not the case among Christian people. But, you know, choosing a name for your little one can be very difficult for some people. And, you know, there's probably been a lot of tears over names, a lot of tears over so-called stolen names when they disappear, when somebody else uses it right before you were going to or something like that. Or fear that somebody will, a name that you've always wanted to use, a name that means something to you. Well, growing up, I thought I had a very difficult name. Really, it's a sense that it's not that bad. But, you know, some of my friends, their names were so much easier to spell than mine, and so much shorter, and it just seemed like that'd be the way to do it. You know, I had to make sure people get the A in Murray, the C they put in Schrock. You know, some parents refused to enter the so-called naming mania and choose instead to use, you know, just family names, honor family members, or just names because they like them. Not putting much thought into them. You know, we know a lot of people, and it's difficult to find names that maybe is distinct or sets a child apart that has a positive meaning but won't subject a child to being teased or won't make an easy nickname that you don't want. What does it rhyme with? I recently was called, somebody called me, they wanted me to go look at a job on their house roof. They wanted a new roof. And so I couldn't quite catch his name when he called me. So when I was taking down his information, I said, could you give me your name again? He said, Cubby. Okay, Cubby. And so I wrote that down. I said, your last name? Well, he said his last name, but I didn't think I heard right. So I said, could you give me your last name again? He said, Bearden. And I said, could you spell that? He said, just like it sounds, Bearden. Cubby Bearden. Well, you know, he's probably old enough he doesn't mind the teasing. And maybe I didn't ask him how he got along with that name in school. But I find hard to believe that he didn't get plenty of teasing in his school days. You know, how important is your name? None or most of us had anything to do with the name that we have, that we were given. You know, does it matter what we name our children? Does it affect their lives? And I don't know if I can answer that last question, but as we look at what the Bible has to say about names, and especially a good name, I believe we'll find the answer to, is a name important? Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. A name may reflect an individual's nature. And we know the story in 1 Samuel 25 there where David asked Nabal for some food for his men. His men had been looking out for his shepherds and been protecting them. And David thought they should have a favor, and they were hungry, they needed food. And so he asked Nabal for food. And we know Nabal's reply. He told him, you know, he just made fun of him. He wasn't going to give any, disregarded it. And then Abigail went and she went out to meet David when she heard what David said and how David reacted to this. And she told him, let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord, whom thou didst send. Well, in this case, it seems like Nabal lived up to the meaning of his name. So was that a nickname that was given him because of his character, or did he just happen to be that kind of person? Then Abraham, in Genesis 17:5, it says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For as a father of many nations have I made thee. Abraham means a father of many. And we have Jacob's name being changed in Genesis. Well, maybe we can turn to that. Genesis 32, verse 27 to 32. Now there, Jacob, we find him fleeing, fleeing from Laban, maybe, but realizing he's going to meet Esau. Everything had seemed to be going good for him, but here things took a turn. He didn't know what was going to happen. Genesis 32:27. And he said unto him, Jacob said unto the angel there, he said, what is thy name? And he said, the angel asked Jacob, I'm sorry, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince that hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. So Israel means he struggles with God. You know, to this day we have the Israelites, a people that are making daily headlines still today. It was important to Jacob to know the name of this man that he was wrestling with. I believe he knew it was a supernatural experience. This was no ordinary man. Coming in contact with this man changed his own name, and it was a turning point in his life. He was never the same. In biblical times, the survival of one's name was important. You know, we just went through the book of Ruth. You know, Boaz took Ruth as his wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And Jacob, in blessing Joseph, in Genesis 48, it says, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named among them and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of this earth, in the midst of the earth." Again, we see the importance of the survival of his name, the name of his fathers. Our name is something that's given us that identifies us. You know, it'll be with us all our lives. Our lives will affect how people look at that name. You know, we think of Bible characters that were an exclamation for God. You know, they're likely often used. You know, how many Judas or Delilahs do you know? Probably not a lot. But think of Joseph, John, James, Peter, Andrew, Joshua, and Caleb, David, and so on. You know, there's many that are used often. It's because of who they're known by, that name. Can it be a theft to steal or to destroy a name? You know, bad name to good name. Stories told of Mrs. Eagle, Dorcas Eagle. She had been arrested so many times for stealing that she had a bad name. And in order to change that, she stole a purse, a woman's handbag. She took the papers and stuff she found on the inside, adopted the new name that was in that this lady had, Michelle Gull. And when she was caught again for another robbery, she said, "I like birds," confessed Mrs. Eagle when she was arrested as Miss Gull for another robbery. And then Gull sued this Mrs. Eagle because she had given her a bad name. You know, that was identity theft. That's something we all fear to some extent or another. You know, if our identity gets stolen, you know, people can buy on another person's credit card, another person's credit. It's not good. It can be extremely difficult to get things straightened out. Shakespeare said, "Good name in man and woman, dear my lord, is the immediate jewel of their souls. Who steals my purse steals trash. 'Tis something, nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slave to thousands. But he that filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed. But he that filches or steals from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed." You know, then the ninth commandment is, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." To gossip is a breach of the ninth commandment, and its effect will be a breach of the eighth commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." Now, maybe we don't think of gossip as stealing. Like Shakespeare says, a man's reputation is worth more than his money. We all know that it's wrong to steal. It's wrong to falsify a document to keep from paying taxes. I just had somebody ask me the other day if I would put down a different price on a title so that they wouldn't have to pay, the taxes would be lower. You know, do you do that? I think we all know the answer to that. Yeah, you know, that is stealing, whether it's our neighbor or the government. But when Zacchaeus met Jesus, there was no question where he stood. He wasn't going to let anything keep him from a clear conscience. You know, he had stolen. Zacchaeus, he said, "I'm going to repay fourfold." He was probably applying the four sheep for one rule of Exodus. You know, he expressed his repentance. He showed spiritual reality. You know, how much reality of this kind is there in us? Do we see the wrong in stealing another's reputation or in running it down as much or more than we would see the wrong in taking money or stealing his cow? And we have several examples in Scripture of people that sought to tear down. In Numbers 12, if you want to turn with me to Numbers 12, I'll read the first 10 verses there. Numbers 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now, here's a case where jealousy caused them to speak out against Moses. According to Scripture, the way it starts there, I think it would insinuate that Aaron wouldn't have went there if his wife hadn't pushed him. I would tend to believe it was one of those situations that maybe she kept working on him and finally wore him down, and she was able to persuade him that Moses was out of his place. But we see God's response there. He did not look kindly on that, and there was consequences. We know the outcome there. Miriam was forgiven. She was healed. We also have the jealousy of Saul, which led to bitterness. You know, David had a long, hard journey. You know, he wondered many times where God was. You know, running down another's name is stealing. It gives us nothing. And like Shakespeare said, it robs the other person. If we're bearing someone's name, it indicates ownership or identification. You know, while a good name is rather to be chosen than riches, a really good name is possible only when our life is hid with Christ in God. And we're going to read a couple of verses out of Philippians there here in a little bit. You know, we just talked about the illustration of the life of King Saul. You know, while he was little in his own eyes, he won mighty victories for God. He brought glory to his name and prosperity to his people. But when his heart was lifted up because of pride, because of his achievements, he lost favor of God and finally went down in defeat and lasting shame. You know, when the big I gets into our head, that's when which means goodbye to usefulness as a servant of God, unless by the grace of God we are brought back to humility. You know, others may think that someone is talented, someone has eloquent, witty, wise, but you know, that's when we start to admire our own greatness. That's when we're sure to lose power and favor with God. It's been said that the hardest thing for the average man to bear is popularity. And one of the most annoying hindrances to any person is the thought that he or she has a reputation to sustain. You know, if your reputation is right with God, we don't need to worry about our reputation with men. Philippians 2:5. You're welcome to turn there. You can just listen to very familiar verses. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You know, Jesus is a precious name to all believers because it reminds us that he is a Savior. It's the name that was given to him by God when he came into this world. You know, it teaches us the purpose of his incarnation. It is his human name reminding us that it's him that became God, that was God who became man. You know, Peter referred to that when the healing of the crippled beggar, and he declared that there's no other name sufficient for our salvation. Matt, there's a song in our Christian hymnal I'd like to turn to. Taken out of Matthew 1:21. Number 22 in the Christian hymnal. There is no name so sweet on earth, no name so dear in heaven, as that before his wondrous birth to Christ the Savior given. You know, 'twas Gabriel that first that did proclaim to his most blessed mother that name which now and evermore we praise above all other. Maybe we could stand and sing that. Could somebody give me the pitch on that?
Jesus, born
seated. There's no name so sweet on earth. I'd like to look a little bit now into some verses that would indicate a name being ownership or identification. And you know, it's probably the most important name. It is the most important, not probably, most important name that we bear. And that's that His name, that we're identified with Him, with Jesus. Revelation 14:1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Having our Father's name written on our forehead is the most, again, the most important name we can carry. But there is a condition that goes with that. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. I'm afraid too many times people feel like, you know, we can just name. This is the name. We claim the name of Jesus, and it stops there. But there is a life that goes with that. Things that, like we heard this morning, that are acceptable. Things that are not acceptable. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. If my people, which are called by my name. Deuteronomy 28:10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. I think we heard about that this morning in the devotional. The people that were called by the name of the Lord. And you know, they were respected, but not, it was too late for the Egyptians. Isaiah 43:6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Even everyone that is called by my name. We were created for his glory. Revelation 22. If you want to turn with me there, I'm going to read the first seven verses of Revelation 22. It's also a familiar chapter, so if you'd prefer to listen, that's up to you. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Again, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. God knows his people by name. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Isaiah 45:3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden treasures of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. In John chapter 10, very familiar verses there, talking about Jesus being the shepherd. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. God knows us by name. He knows his children by name. What a wonderful promise and a comfort that is. What is in a good name? Your name represents you, your life, and who you are. You know, it speaks of the work you do and how you do it. Like we heard there this morning, your name embodies your reputation. What kind of a reputation do you have? I'd like to look just a couple points here that are in a good name. Honest motives. You know, God warns that the secret motives of a man's heart will ultimately determine the quality and the durability of his name. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his desires, of his doings. I'm sorry. You know, if your secret desires are motivated by greed, by pride, by sensuality, you know, your actions are going to be influenced by those motives. It will affect your name. Even if you can hide it in this life, you will forfeit his name written on your forehead. On the positive side, if your motives are to please the Lord and advance his kingdom, you know, your name and your reputation will be preserved. Another point would be a clear conscience. You know, the Apostle Peter challenges us to live having a good conscience. To have a clear conscience means taking responsibility for our actions, making things right when we have wronged others. You know, a clear conscience gives motivation to maintain good works, even when your name is under attack. And it's through the perseverance of good works that God is glorified and a good name is established. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Number three, priorities that glorify God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, priorities reveal your values. You know, they tell others what is important to you. Is it prestige, possessions, or your relationship with God, family, and others? We heard this morning about the importance of relationships. You know, what does it take to, when you have your day all scheduled, or when you have something in your work schedule, what does it take to make you change those plans that you have when another need comes up? You know, when our priorities are out of line, we destroy relationships. You know, but just as gold is tried by fire, so a good name will be tested by accusations and reactions. Names that stand these tests in a Christ-like way will stand and can claim the promises that are given the overcomer. Revelation 3:10-12. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And what a wonderful promise. To him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. I will write upon him my new name. And let's make sure that we have that name. The other names we have that we give, what we have, we probably didn't have anything to do with, but the names we give, those are important. But there's nothing that compares with having his name on our hearts and our on our foreheads. In closing, I'd like to read a writing that I got out of the writings of Menno Simons. It was just a blessing to me, and I thought it went along with this. It's written especially to leaders, but I think it, you know, we all fit in that place, and it's good for all of us. My dearly beloved brethren in the Lord, we thank the Lord always for you in all our prayers, and pray without ceasing unto our kind Father, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, that he would strengthen you with the gift of his Holy Spirit, that you may be filled with all knowledge, wisdom, discretion, and power, necessary rightly to oversee the Church of Christ, and to dispense the Word of God to sincere, pious souls, according to your gift and calling, and that you may walk worthy of the vocation whereunto you are called and chosen of God and his Holy Church, as shepherds and teachers, to the end that the saints may be kept firmly united by the common service to the edification of the body of Christ. Take diligent care of your charge and display a sincere concern for your flock. At all times, earnestly exhort them to love, to good works, like Paul, to the pure fear and love of the Lord, to a godly, unblameable conversation in all humility, righteousness, love, peace, harmony, mercy, and obedience to the whole word of God. Caution them against all false doctrine and against the sword of evil tongues. For if a man bridle not his tongue, nor restrain it, his worship is vain and unprofitable. Also that they take heed in their whole talk, walk, and conversation, circumcise their hearts, season their words, and perform all their actions in the fear of the Lord, that they may procure a good name for the gospel of Christ and his holy church, comply with his word and will, and thus attain unto salvation. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before thee again this morning. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you that you are willing to come down upon this earth to give your life, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can know that you have been through all, you have faced every temptation, every trial that we face, and that you know the hurts, you know the pain, you know the struggles we face. We just pray, Lord, that you might help us to make it the top priority to have your name written on our foreheads, to keep you first in everything. We just thank you for the group here, this congregation of brothers and sisters. We just pray you might bless each one. Bless those that can't be here, those that are in various places today. Just pray your blessing on them. And Lord, just help us to keep our eyes on you and to remember those words, the promises that you have given to the overcomer, and that time is short. We just help us to keep our focus on you. We just want to commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.